Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
How's it going, dude?
Fantastic.
We got a great one today, buddy, or at least I hope so. We got a couple of longtime pals of mine on the show today, comedian Judy Gold and radio host Greg Opie Hughes. I've done a lot of radio with both of them back when Opie was on Sirius XM. And now he's got his own thing going. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about having the name Opie, the name Judy. How's your week been, Doug?
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt. Producer Ryan here. Our guests have arrived.
Okay.
It sucked anyway.
Talk to you later, Doug. Let's go ahead and roll that theme song, Ryan. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Wide World of Dougs with an extremely aggressive theme song.
And that is catchy. That is catchy. Wow.
Yeah, you're going to be humming it later, you think?
Yeah. That is catchy!
Oh, my God. I'm awake now.
I don't even know what they're saying. And I don't even know what the lyrics are. I just know that I think they're saying Wide World of Dougs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
Okay. that's Opie and Judy.
Hi, Opie.
Hi, Judy Gold, who wrote an amazing book.
Oh, Opie, I love you.
It's an amazing book, and everyone should read it. I don't read many books, but I read Judy Gold's book.
I have to say, Opie literally texted me like, oh, my God, and both of my kids had COVID, and I couldn't write back because lost track of everything. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that, Opie.
Okay, we had an awkward moment because she told me about her book. I read it in a day and a half, and I'm thinking, oh well, now we need to podcast. So I said, when are we going to podcast? And then I don't hear from Judy for like 2 or 3 days. So then you know came out, and I was like, Judy, what the fuck, man? I thought we were going to podcast and talk about this wonderful book you wrote. And then she hits me with, both my kids have COVID.
Both kids, my ex's wife, my son's girlfriend, and my son's two best friends. Oh, and they were quarantining in my apartment. It was hell. So yeah. I do want a podcast, Opie, because I haven't talked
to you. But then it was so uncomfortable, because then I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, did she just blow me off and now she's using her kids as an excuse? No, I know now, Judy. I'm just saying, because that's how all think, because we're all paranoid sons of bitches.
I know, but you know I'm brutally honest. So.
And then the Dougs bring you together to clear out your grievances.
Yeah.
I like that. you know that me and Judy Gold have nothing to do with the name Doug, so why are we on this podcast?
Yeah, that's right. It's all Doug shit, right?
Yeah, I don't know any Dougs.
I had one Doug I grew up with. That's it. Doug, yeah. Doug is a weird name.
All right, well, thanks for coming by, you guys. got more experts on the name Doug standing by.
Well, my real name's Greg.
Doug's.
Well, I was going to say my real name's Greg, and the only name I hate more is Doug.
Right?
Is that true?
I could see Opie. Yeah. It makes perfect sense you ending up with the nickname Opie because you just don't seem like a Greg.
And I'm not an Opie either, so I'm trying to think of a third name, actually, because I'm too old to be named Opie, and I never liked my original name.
Okay, I have a question. If you were having a child today, What is the percentage that you would name your kid Doug? Go.
It must be crazy low. I mean,
right?
I know I would. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like a popular name anymore.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, if your name is Doug and you pass, like, there's no Doug the Second. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Douglas.
Yeah, Doug Jr. Oh, no.
Well, Douglas isn't as bad as Doug.
Yeah, but nobody goes by Douglas.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, my mom at least was smart enough not to call me Gregory, because that's even worse than Greg and even worse than Doug.
Greg is not bad.
You got the unique double G spelling on Greg at the end there.
Yeah, what is that?
That sucks. Well, it sucks because when you go into like rest areas and stationary stores and you want that little nameplate that has your name, they never had it with the two G's.
Yeah. That's such a big part of living is you got to have little license plates with your name on them.
when you're 12.
Okay, well, try being Judith. Okay, try to find that.
It's funny too because, like, even when you don't want one, you still feel left out that your name's not on there.
Right. That's a running theme. I feel like 4 or 5 guests have brought up the little license plates and the frustration it's brought. And it's so weird at that age. Like, why do you even give a shit about a tiny license plate? You only care if your name isn't up there, which none of ours are.
But you even, like, when you go to those stores that have those license plates, it's not like you buy them. It's just like you look for your name and then you walk away.
Yeah.
And it's like you feel invalidated if your name is not on there.
I agree with you 100%. I was always looking for a keychain because, you know, that's what a 10, 11-year-old needs is a keychain for all his keys.
Well, that's your latchkey child.
You're trying to grow up to be a janitor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you this, though. So I was supposed to be Frederick Wilfred Hughes III.
Oh.
That is really.
Oh, exactly. My God.
Why don't you just put on your SS officer uniform right now?
And my dad's name was Fred. My mom goes, Freddie, we're not naming him Frederick Wilford Hughes III. So.
Yeah. And then you landed Opie.
Yeah. How long did it take before the Opie thing happened?
I'm trying to remember. I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I was just a real nerdy kid with glasses in a classroom that I was keeping to myself. And Julie Burson stands up in the classroom and goes, "We need a nickname for you, kid." And they went with Howdy Doody, of course. You got to do that if you have a little kind of red hair. And then they went with Will Robinson from Lost in Space. And then they started with the whole eagle eye and four eyes and all that crap because I wore glasses. And then she just pointed at me and went, "For now on, your name is Opie." And it stuck that day.
And did you go home to your mother and say, you know, that's my new name?
No, it just kind of, it had to take time to kind of ripen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was Judith, and I was like, and my mother would always be like, Judith, everyone call, and everyone in my family or people who know me before I'm like 12 all call me Judith. And then I'm like, I can't fucking take this. I need independence. So I said, my name's Judy, right? And then my mother was so annoyed. She's like, if I wanted to call you Judy, I would have named you Judy, but not your name. So people would, like, friends would call the house. We only had one phone, and it was a landline for the young kids out there. And so if one of my friends called the house, and they'd say, this is exactly how my mother would answer phone. She'd say, hello, and they would say, hi, is Judy there? And my mother literally, I'd be upstairs, in as loud as possible into the phone, Judith! Phone! Like, as loud. And it was, so, I was like, I can't do this anymore. But yeah, so I changed it to Judy, but now I kind of like Judith.
Yeah, Judith is cool because you don't see a lot of Judiths out there.
Right. I should have, and now I'm an author, so it should be Judith Gould.
Speaking of you being an author, and I'm sorry, Doug, because it's your podcast, but I do want to mention that in Judy's book, she talks about the – you brought back a memory that I got to bring up, where the phone would ring at your house and you would have the mystery of wondering who was calling. Right. And we have lost that in the year 2020.
Yeah, because I talk about Janine Garofalo, because there's a whole chapter on social media and how much it's fucked up comedy. And I had interviewed Janine Garofalo for the book, and she has, first of all, she has no computer. She has a flip phone. And
wow. Yeah, it's a fact that she has most things she needs to remember tattooed on her body.
That is so funny.
Her tramp stamp is her mother's phone number.
The female memento.
So she said, you know, I can't take, she said she can't take the critics. She couldn't deal with it. She cannot deal with it. You know, like all the negative shit, she would read it and she couldn't handle it. And then she said, you know, when I pick up the phone, I have no idea who's calling. So when I say hello, it's like old times. And it was like, I was like, what does that feel like? She said, well, I feel like when the whole thing ends, when there's like a meteor storm and no one can get connected, it won't affect me because I have my notebooks and my thing and everyone else's life will be over. So I don't know.
Beautiful.
And that meteor storm is the end of 2020 for sure.
Yo, please. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. Let's ignore that for now and have some lofts. The world sucks right now. The world
that sounds
sucks
like
right
something,
now.
That sounds like something that Gregory Wilfred Hughes would have, a loft. No,
Frederick.
Frederick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Frederick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more thing on the phones. Remember, you would leave your house and it was like you had no connection to anybody and you had to remember a whole bunch of phone numbers and you had to get clues from the people that were out there to try to find your friends
God.
That might be somewhere else.
Wait, when you would say, like, meet me here at blank, and that was it. You'd say it once, and that was the end of it. It wasn't like 5,000 times, okay, I'm leaving now. Okay, here I'm going to be 5,000. It was like, meet me here, and then you got there, and the person, it was like, plus, I remember one time. I had auditioned for, you know, for All American Girl with Margaret Cho. And I went to the network. It was a Thursday and I went to the network and I was all packed because I was leaving to go to North Carolina for a gig that night. And the agent said, listen, if you get this, you're not going to North Carolina. So go home and sit by the phone. I had to sit by the fucking phone. Wow. And wait for the phone to ring to see if I got the gig, which I did. And then I never went to North Carolina. And then they never booked me at that club again. Anyway, but not better at all. But it was like the anticipation, like, and plus walking down the street and just being with your thoughts. And just there's none of that. There is none of that anymore.
Nothing.
Judy,
no.
I got to jump in here, Judy, with something.
Uh-oh.
It's always dangerous when he says that.
I know.
Uh-oh, one of the hosts of the show wants to talk.
Sorry. You invited the big egos on your podcast.
Yeah.
The sitting by the phone thing is crazy, but even crazier is like, as a stand-up comedian, you want to become more famous to get more people to come out to see you live, et cetera. So the club never having you back just because you got cast in something last minute, that just sticks with me. I don't feel like they should have done that to you.
People hold grudges, and I am not one of these comics that does this, but when you're a woman, I'm telling you, and you're like, sorry, I can't come last. It really is different. It is a little different for us.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure for every ethnicity as well.
Yeah.
I mean, being a white guy, you could definitely cancel on people easier.
Right.
You say, sorry, I can't make it. And everybody gets over it quicker for some
reason. Right. Yeah. So it was
you don't become known as unreliable or something, you know?
Right. So it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you. I went out of my way to have a female headliner and now you're fucking, you know, that kind of thing. So It's like, oh my God, if I was just, you know, Joe comic, it wouldn't be an issue. You'd get another Joe comic.
So what club was it?
Was it Charlie Goodnight's? I don't know. Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, they're in Raleigh and they're booked by the people who book Helium, so it's not even the same people. So.
Yeah, but this was 25 years ago.
Yeah, I'm just saying that whoever held that grudge is probably dead or maybe doesn't even run the club anymore.
Right.
I want to figure it out and get you in there.
Thank you so much.
But, you know, a lot of the clubs aren't even open right now anyways.
So. I know.
You know,
sucks.
What are you going to do? But yeah, this is super great. Cause like, you know, we've had guests on this show that, you know, 2 minutes in, we're done talking about Doug's and we don't have anything else to talk about. And, the both of you are just, you know, you're professional.
Yeah, we don't shut the fuck up. Well, we're from New York. Wait, Opie, you're not in the city though, are you? You moved.
Oh my God. I'm looking at the ocean right now. And I've only been back to New York City, 3 times to get bills since March.
I have been there twice since March.
It's scary, right? We live in the same area, Upper West Side. It's getting nuts.
It's so weird. I'm in Provincetown, and, you know, I see I go to the ocean, I go to the bay, I play tennis every day. You know, it's a whole new world. But
beautiful.
I mean, I feel like I just left my life. It's so weird. Like, I was thinking... Yeah. Today, I'm like, I haven't been back to my apartment. And a part of me is like, I don't ever want to go back there again. I mean, but I don't know because it's just weird. It's so fucking weird. It's just weird. Going out every fucking night.
Yeah. It's not coming back anytime soon because everyone figured out that this new way of life, even if they figure out the coronavirus, that they could work from home. And a lot of those restaurants are not going to open up. And a lot of those places that we know and love are gone for forever, man. I think New York City is going to be a great place for young people because they'll be more affordable. And they're more than willing to be adventurous and go with the whole vibe until it gets itself back together. But being older with 2 young kids, I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Doug.
I was just going to say, like, the kids thing, like, the people that are just like, it doesn't affect kids. I just feel so bad that people are that, like, we don't even know all of the effects of it yet. Like, they're still saying, oh, yeah, and it does this and it does that.
Well, oh, my God. You know, my son plays basketball for Tulane, and he got it from his roommate tested positive, and then he came home. He wasn't positive, but he had a quarantine. And he ended up getting it, I guess, because it's an incubation period. His girlfriend got it. And then everyone in my family got it. But they just came out today and said all these athletes who have had COVID or have COVID have that myocardia. That's the heart thing now. So I just literally 10 minutes before was texting with the other mother to get him checked out because it's like, you don't know. My other son still is like coughing. It's like, you don't fucking know.
Right.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing, but you know, in all of our cases, we're lucky that we can just sit at home for a while, but you know, everything's got to have this, quote unquote, new normal's got to, you know, got to be figured out.
Yes. Yeah, we can't just go back to the old, you know, what we're used to. It's obviously things have changed forever, no matter what.
Yeah.
But everyone is looking at this like, well, when are they going to get the vaccine so we could just go back to our lives? Everything's changed.
And the other thing is, you live in New York City so that when you leave your apartment, you're in New York City. But there's no New York City.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. There's no reason to be there.
Right.
It's just really sad. And I feel, and then there's the people like, you're my city's never going to die. You know, I still love New York and I still, but I have, you know, like there's the violence and the fact they took over all these really cool hotels on the Upper West Side where Opie and I live and put like homeless meth addicts in there. I mean, what the fuck? I hate de Blasio so much. I can't even tell you.
Same. I'm on the same page with you. And it's, you know, New York City is looked at as a very liberal city until you put homeless people in these really fancy hotels in your neighborhood. And then guess what? You're not as liberal anymore.
Yeah. It's really frustrating. Like the two or three homeless that have been living with me, because that's in L.A., Garcetti made us all take in people. So, the ones that live with me have been mostly a nuisance.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, it's good company during quarantine.
Sometimes you just, you start telling stories and you have a nice, you know, nice evening.
Of course.
But Jeopardy is coming back on September 14th. And Alex Trebek was always 6 feet away from the contestants. And they just moved their podiums a little further apart.
And he's high risk.
The show never needed an audience to begin with because the audience is just supposed to be quiet, you know, the whole time. So they're back in business. They've been quietly shooting since July.
Right. And
here's a hot piece of gossip. They've got Ken Jennings is like not co-hosting, but he steps in once in a while.
Wow.
And category. And I think they're grooming him to eventually be the host of Jeopardy.
Interesting.
Yeah. And which I would be very much in favor of because he certainly is, you know, proven to be.
That's crazy.
Very good at it.
Like you'd never. Do you see how the fucking world works? And like, who would think that would be his replacement?
Right.
Bro.
You know?
Yeah. It just seemed managed to become like it's a different world where contestants can become as famous or more so than the host of the show.
Right.
Right.
It's so weird. So why doesn't something like that happen to me? The fuck?
I can guarantee most game show hosts wouldn't get the gig if it involved being great at the game.
Right, exactly. But he's going to be, you know, you're going to be like, oh, he really does know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he ad-libbing this entire game?
Yeah, right. Hi, I don't even need cue cards, guys. They should not give him the answer. They should let him just he should be. Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's them versus Ken.
Yeah, all three versus. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug and Doug, can I ask Judy a geography question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because she's in Provincetown, and I want to know how close you are to where Roy Cohn used to rent.
Oh, my God, I'm right here. I'm right here. We were
really?
Talk about it. Yes, I'm in Provincetown proper. I'm, like, right at the tip. And, you know, there's this big David Geffen had just put his boat here for a couple of weeks, a few weeks ago. And it's just so obnoxious because you look out on the bay and there's a big boat. But there's another big boat there. And last night I was like, whose boat is that? And they're like, I don't know, Roy Cohn's. Like, everyone makes Roy Cohn jokes here now because of that fucking documentary. But yeah.
That documentary was amazing.
What a motherfucker, huh?
No kidding. A sick fuck. Absolutely. Absolutely a sick fuck. And then he hid the fact that he was gay all those years, huh?
I know. This self-hating gay and shit is so boring. It's just so boring. It's like, okay, great. Right. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like, no one gives a shit.
Rich people should be the first people to be like exactly what they want to be.
Right.
Like yes. Call me whatever you want, you know, whatever they want to be called. Like, it should just be any group they want to fit into. And then they should give most of their money to help the world instead of just sitting there with it doing nothing.
I like that.
Right.
Right? Very nice.
Yeah. Provincetown, I got to visit because I went to the Provincetown Film Festival for a few days. And man, I fell in love with that place. I'm so excited that you live there.
Yeah, I bought a house here in 1994. And I'm telling you, all those shitty years where I had no money, where I got divorced, like everything – people were like, oh, if you just sell the house, you'll be fine. I was like, I'm never selling this house. And, you know, the mortgage has been over leveraged for quite some time. But, you know, in March, when this whole thing happened, thank God I had this house.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I love living here. I mean, yeah, I miss doing my sets. And I'm doing 2 shows a week here, so that's good. But because they have an outdoor, one of the clubs is doing an outdoor shows by the pool. So that's fine. But, you know, the food is great. It's a community. I can go hiking. I can go biking. I can go swimming. I can play tennis. I can go to the gym. And I don't know. It's like living like a normal person. I have space.
Right. When you do come wintertime, don't most people that live there get the hell out of there for winter?
A lot of them do because January and February sucks.
Not this winter, though.
But a lot of them stay. I know. And in March, it was like packed. And the food here is so fucking good. There's so many artists because of the light reflects off the bay and the ocean. So there's so many, you know, artists here. There's so many writers. They have writer workshops. It's just, it's really, it's like an artist colony.
Caricature artist.
I got a connection to Provincetown, Judy.
How?
I was conceived there.
No way!
What?
I swear to God.
No fucking way!
I swear to God.
What, your parents were on like some sort of gay weekend?
Well, I know. What were they here for?
Their honeymoon. And I mean, I was born, no joke, 9 months to the day. So I'm a honeymoon baby, and they honeymooned in Provincetown. I was conceived in P-Town.
Oh my God! What do they? Do you know where they were staying?
No idea, man.
You haven't come across the plaque, Judy, of where he was conceived.
When I lived in Boston, we took the Provincetown trip every once in a while. It really is a wonderful place.
It's really, you know, it's the way the world should be. It's just free to be you and me here.
Yeah, it's like you get, you know, any night of the week, I think you could see a drag show if you're in the mood for that.
Right.
And
well, not anymore. But
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but the outside thing sounds incredible. Like, and that you could play tennis every day. And
Oh, yeah. I belong to the tennis club because I'm white. And then the outdoor shows are great. I mean, it's weird. The sound is weird, but I don't care. I have an audience. And I don't know. There's just so much to do. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. I've been wanting to come back there either to come back to the film festival or just to visit again, because it's also it's the ferry ride over from Boston's not very long, and kind of fun. It gets a little choppy sometimes, but I just had a really pleasant time there. Can't remember the name of the hotel, but it's right next to the sort of the downtown area.
The theater. What movie? The film festival is really good, but you know they canceled everything this year. Yeah. So yeah.
The film that I saw, the film, they have like a tiny multi, like 2-screen theater with a bar attached to it. That's pretty
cool. Yeah. That's where I perform. It's called The Art House. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw the movie that I was there for. I saw it there. And then I saw another movie. Saw that Nicole Kidman, Colin Farrell movie, The Beguiled. Yeah. I saw it in they did it in the high school gym or something there.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? That,
yeah. So that was funny to me to be seeing this, kind of, you know, spicy movie. And then when people would walk around the floor, you know,
a lot of people perform there, you know, when they need bigger rooms in the summer with good sound, but that's a cute little theater there.
Yeah.
No, in high school.
The whole place is adorable. I really
like it. And the fact that they figured it out, they figured out how to have entertainment here because they're gay. So they figured it the fuck out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The show must go on for sure. I got a question for you, Opie.
Yes.
Why, like in a motion picture, like in that movie, Chris Rock's movie, Top Five, why are you credited as Greg Hughes and there's no Opie in there at all, not even like in quotes?
That's a great question. Actually, I was so excited to be in that movie, and then I'm like blurred out in the background. I mean, I'm barely in that movie.
And then, so that's what you're saying, is they blurred out the word name Opie.
Maybe they had to credit my real name to pay me or something. I have no idea.
That's hilarious.
Because aren't you? You're like in Grand Theft Auto also.
Yes. Yeah. Oh wow! You're looking at my credits. I like this.
But you're also Greg Hughes there. I think just legally, I think you just never go to the trouble of saying, "Hey, can you call me Opie?" You just like go with your legal name.
I guess you're
right. Like, are you a member of AFTRA?
I am.
Yeah,
but so
you're probably Greg Hughes in AFTRA. You're not Greg Opie Hughes.
Yeah, I guess. When I started in radio, my name was Greg Opie Hughes, and a PD said, Greg Hughes is a good radio name, and Opie's a wonderful radio name. Pick one or the other. And I said, all right, I'll just be Opie. And that was it. But
I love that he pumped you up with Greg Hughes is a wonderful radio name.
What the fuck is that?
It's so boring. You're right. There's nothing to it. It's a terrible name. Well, you know that I met the real Opie?
Oh, wow.
What is that?
Did I ever tell you the story?
You mean Ron Howard?
Ron Howard?
Yeah, man. So really quickly, Upper West Side, Starbucks on, I want to say, 73rd and Columbus, I think, Judy?
Mm-hmm.
On a Saturday morning, I would run there when I was living on 71st, and I would get coffee for me and my now wife. And I go there real early on a Saturday morning. I go in. There's three people there. Me, Ron Howard, and a fan of my radio show. I swear to God. So I walk in and I see Ron Howard, and I'm like, I've been waiting my whole life to tell him, you know, I'm the other Opie, right? This is my moment. But the fan of the radio show goes, holy shit, I can't believe you're in here. Can I get a picture? And he's freaking out, right? We all had those moments. And I'm like, well, screw that I'm here. You know, the guy I'm named after is right over. And he already left. I'm like, oh my God.
No.
So I go home, and it was the fan that distracted me, and I didn't get my opportunity. But I go home, and I tell my wife, and I'm like, he's got to be on the street still. Oh, my God, oh, my God. So I run back out with a portable camera to get a picture, and he's under the scaffolding. I'll never forget this, and it's raining, and there's no one around. And I walk up to him. I go, Ron, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Opie from the Opie and Anthony Show. He goes, I know who you are. He goes, you're giving the name a run for the money. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he knew all about my career, and we talked about Howard Stern and this and that. And then he wanted to invite me on to a movie set because he wanted to introduce me to other people in his circle. Long story short, that never happened, but he ended up doing the radio show after that. And he was such a nice, down-to-earth guy.
Oh, my God.
You know, all right, this is going to be the queerest fucking thing I ever say, and I can't even believe I'm telling you this.
Well, at least you're saying it from one of the queerest fucking places.
Yeah, I am. And a queer is saying it. A queer is telling you a queer story. So,
queer as it gets.
When I moved to New York in 1984, I don't know, I was keeping a journal, whatever. And I remember one day I was like, I love New York. I was walking. It was such a wonderful day. It's at my place in New York, but it's so queer. Cause you know, even writing in my journal, I try to be fun. It's like, you're just fucking writing in a journal. I have to be like,
right.
You know? And so it was like, I was walking in Central Park and I saw Ron Howard. It was like an omen. It was the queerest fucking thing. I'm like,
oh my God.
I know. And I was like, oh, part of my childhood. Blah, 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 vomit, vomit, vomit.
Yeah. Well, we all had those moments living in New York City where you walk in around and all of a sudden you see a huge celebrity.
Right.
Remember when Peter Jennings was fighting that cancer?
Yeah.
So I see him walking in Central Park and I'm thinking, this is my moment to say hi to Peter Jennings. And he didn't look that great and he was losing his battle. And the only thing I could think of at the time was to say, good luck, bro.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. You're such an asshole.
But I don't mean to be an asshole. I panicked. I didn't know what to say. And it was obvious that. Right.
You should have ran up to him and said, I'm the other Opie.
Yeah. I don't know how many times that could work. But there you go.
That's so funny.
I saw Ron Howard when I went to a taping of Happy Days.
No, you didn't.
What?
Well, no, he, you know, come on.
He was
did
there
you?
On the show. Yeah, I used to, when I was a youngin, I used to go to, like, especially like my high school and stuff would have bus trips up to L.A. because I grew up in San Diego. So we'd have bus trips up to L.A. to go see, you know, TV shows being taped.
Wow. Okay, I have a question for someone who grew up in New Jersey, okay?
Uh-huh.
Being a kid, because, all right, so those, they were so, it was like, I just wanted to run away to those houses, but did it ruin it for you going to see it taped, that like the whole fantasy that it was real part of it? As a kid?
Well, because I was, you know, I didn't know when I was super young. It was, you know, it wasn't until like high school and beyond that I started going to TV show tapings. And I feel like I was drawn to them just because I wanted to be a, you know, a performer and a writer. And I just, you know, I wasn't imagining working in television, but I was, you know, so into it. So, yeah, I don't, even back then, even in the 70s and 80s and stuff, there was enough behind the scenes material about TV that like you never really felt, I don't think kids really feel like it's that real, but you know,
right.
Depends on the age, I guess. But it was real eye opening. I always like to tell Bob Saget whenever I run into him that I saw him do studio audience warm up at a sitcom taping. And I always thought it was, Mork and Mindy, but he always corrects me and says that it was, I must have gone to a taping of Bosom Buddies.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. And I did go to a Bosom Buddies, but for some reason I always associated Bob Saget with being the guy I saw do warm up at Mork and Mindy.
Wait, did you hate it?
Hey,
like
what?
Going to the things, was it too long, or were you like, oh my God, this is so cool?
Oh, it always goes on for too long. But then it strangely prepared me for, I don't think a lot of actors when they get cast in a small part in Friends realize that if their scene is in the end of the episode, they're not going to get to it until midnight.
So I
sat around at Warner Brothers the day I was on Friends. It was like 8 hours of sitting around before, you know, jumping out there and saying two lines. It was really strange. But that show, Friends, they used to like do super long tapings, and then when people would get bored or tired or need to go pay their sitter, when they'd leave, they'd have a line outside and replace those people with new bodies.
Oh. Wow.
Just have a packed audience that laughs at every goddamn thing they say, no matter what it is.
When you're sitting around waiting for 8 hours to do a couple lines, are you getting in your head at any point?
I mean, it's two lines with Jennifer Aniston. I was like losing my mind. I was like,
wow.
I couldn't wait to get it the fuck over with. And they do so many retakes. They retake every scene and keep like kind of tweaking lines. And like, so the taping takes forever.
Oh my God.
And I'm in the very, like almost the last scene of the episode. It was so funny too, like driving home, I'd always heard that Matt LeBlanc, Joey, was like a really, like really into driving fast and sports cars. And I was driving over Barham to go home for the from the taping. And suddenly a really loud sports car comes flying up behind me and just zooms right by. But it wasn't too fast. It wasn't so fast I couldn't see it. It was fucking Matt LeBlanc. I've been waiting for him to die in a car accident. He was driving so crazy.
Wow.
And that's what they say about him, is that he's just a crazy driver.
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right. So let's go to a quick commercial break. It's super quick on this show. It's like you barely even notice it. And then we'll get into, we still need to find out some Dougs that Judy and have encountered in there. You must know some Dougs. So we'll do that right after this. We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back.
That was a great commercial break.
Told you, super fast.
And I peed, I shit, I made coffee.
I love it.
All right, so Judy Gold, tell us about the Dougs in your life. How many Dougs? You said earlier you don't really have a lot of Dougs that you know or have known.
I thought she said
okay,
she hated a
I'm
Doug.
I'm going to tell you my Dougs. Ready? They're all they're Jews.
Okay.
Doug Nevin is my lawyer. He is gay. He is a lawyer and a theater producer. He is gay. He's really fucking smart. I think he went to Yale. Let me look it up.
Like a great Doug.
Yeah, he's a great Doug.
Good Doug.
He's known as a theater, but he's a principal attorney at Nevin Law Group.
What's a big theater case that he would have to do?
Oh, he's a graduate of the University of Wisconsin and the Emory University School of Law. He founded his own law firm in 2014. He's really a great guy.
Question.
He's published articles on topics in transactional and entertainment law, has lectured on various elements of his practice. He was managing editor of the Emory Law Journal, recipient of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers Nathan Birkin Memorial Prize in copyright law at Emory. He's really fucking smart and nice.
Wow,
okay?
he might be as good as, there was a Doug that just came back from space.
Really?
Yeah, your Doug is a very accomplished Doug, yeah.
Yeah, he's like probably second only to Astro Doug, because your Doug, the lawyer, hasn't gone to space, has he?
No, I don't think he wants
to. Yeah, see, I think Brian Regan said that, used to have a bit about how when you've been to space, that trumps every story anybody has.
Right, that's true.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Yeah. That is... Yeah, I'm going to go with that. That's true. Oh, I went to the moon. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you want my other Doug or you want to go to an Opie Doug?
No, I feel like Opie's going to come up blank compared to how much of the...
well, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed in my Doug, but let Judy finish.
Okay, ready?
What else have you got, Judy?
Doug Kleinman. Now, Doug Kleinman, I know from, he did stand-up, but he grew up on the Upper West Side, and he works for Ripco, you know, they sell commercial real estate, or they... They're like brokers, real estate brokers, Ripco. And he's one of these Doug guys. All right. He's short like the other Doug, which is weird. They're both Jews. They're both short and they both have dark hair, but Doug Kleinman, you know, he's like, I'm a comic, but I'm also a commercial real estate guy because I can't really give it all into comedy. And he also is like now has run for office as like the representative, you know, I don't know, like a small government thing representing the Upper West Side. So he has his foot in like, I know all these comics, I'm in the comedy world, I do the commercial real estate, I grew up on the Upper West Side, so now I do some you know, political, I'm politically active. And then he also, for some fucking reason, every time I go get a pedicure, he's at the fucking pedicure place. Like, I think he's in love with the fucking woman who owns the pedicure place, who's married and has a kid. Okay, so that's it. That's my Doug Kleiman. And I always see him, like, walking around. You know, he's one of these guys. You always see him around the neighborhood. He's really nice. He's really nice. But for some reason, he's always at the fucking pedicure place.
I mean, talk about a great person to have a crush on, somebody that you pay to mess around with your feet.
Yeah. I think they're just friends, but I think he has a little, you know.
Yeah.
Those Jewish men.
You know, it's innocent.
I'm going to say something that'll get me in trouble, but there are a lot of Jewish men who love Asian women.
Really?
Yes.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, it's true.
I thought everybody loved Asian women.
I mean, I love Asian women, but there's a lot who are like, only date Asian women.
Yeah. No, I don't, yeah, I don't see either side of that. Really.
Okay, whatever.
No, I mean, I believe you. I'm just saying, it's strange to me, you know, like, it just seems like we're, you know, such a melting pot these days. And
yes, that's true.
Even though a lot of people are over it, but there's still plenty of racism to go around. So it's
oh my god, there's so much. It's fucking.
it's like surprising how much of it there. You know, like I didn't think racism was over because we had a black president, but I certainly didn't know that it was bubbling so much.
I can't fucking, you know, you think about it as a parent, to have to say to your kid, listen. Make sure, you know, if a cop stops you, just, I don't even know, like, make sure there's no taillight out, make sure you have your license, you know, like, just, I already worry about my kids, but having to wonder every time your kid goes out if they're going to fucking come, it's just, it's awful. And it's because we have fucking cameras on our phones.
Yeah, if we didn't have cameras on our phones, we wouldn't have to see these incidents.
Shut up. No, I'm just saying. Wow. It's thank God they're documented now. You know what? I fucking hate both. I hate all of you. I already get hate mail whenever I do any of your shit, and now I'm going to get more hate mail.
My perspective, sorry. No, I'm just saying I agree with her. I was just joking around.
I know.
Yeah. Of course we all.
Well, yeah.
My perspective was always different. When I got pulled over by a cop, I was like, what do you want?
Yeah, right? Okay. As a white person, we'd get irritated by them.
Yes.
Right. I hope he's not going to kill me.
Right.
I was hoping for a laugh, but I was also, there's a little reality to that as well.
I was never worried. Right.
Never
How worried. Can I help you? They get stopped. And it's like, is this my last breath I'm taking? It's not right. And then fat fuck Bill Barr fucking saying, oh, I've never seen anything. Shut the fuck up, you fat piece of shit. Okay. Oh, I'm fat shaming. Everyone who I'm fat shaming, write me at judygold.com and tell me that I'm a fat shamer. Okay, go ahead.
All right, there you go. And read Judy's book and then you'll understand why all that's okay.
I mean, you gotta call him something, and you can only assume about like Tiny Dick or something like that. But he clearly does have a weight problem. So
yeah. He's a fat fuck.
In his case, right. Go ahead.
Him, Chris Christie, right? There's a bunch you can say fat fuck about.
Yeah,
they're fucks and they're fat.
Right.
So they're fat fucks.
Yeah, they're clearly living high on the hog while being a fuck.
Right. Fuck them, motherfuckers.
That's one thing you gotta love about satellite radio and podcasting is that we can fat fuck all day long.
Yeah.
That's right. And, so I got a dog story.
Okay.
Ooh.
Let's get into it.
Well, so when Doug texted me and said, you know, you gotta do my podcast, Wide World of Dogs, I got instantly triggered. I don't like the name Doug because my beautiful wife, when she was a child, she was tormented by a dog.
Fuck
what?
And here's the story. So she's getting ready for her first communion. She's got her nice little dress on, and they now have the, you know, the party in the backyard. And this guy named Doug decided that he wanted to get my wife in this box to torture her.
What?
So basically, Doug
was
goes,
a magician?
No, just an asshole dog. a dick of a person. So this dog goes to my wife and says, I'm going to see if you can fit in this box. And, you know, she's young and naive and thinking that everything's good. So she goes in the box, and then the guy locks her in the box and sits on it and won't let her out. And she's screaming bloody murder inside the box for a while. There you go. Fun story. Fun story for everybody.
Fuck him. Who the fuck is he?
Exactly. Exactly. She has told this story many, many times.
What is he doing now? What is that dog doing now?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe I could get a note.
Yeah, you should try to track him down. And
yeah.
And, you know, if any luck at all, he's fat.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say put him in a box, but he's too much of a fat fuck. He's not going to fit.
He's a fucking fat fucking piece of shit.
I'm sorry I don't have a fun-loving dog story for you, Mr. Benson. No, that's my dog story.
We're building up cases for and against the name Doug on this show. Because
put me in the against column.
Yeah. Because people, there are bullies that are named Doug, and I think you get pushed into either being like creative or a bully by having such a boring name.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you either roll with the jokes or they take over and you get enraged and become a bully.
Yeah. Yeah, because also bullies tend to be some of the funniest kids. Like they, you know, true. They usually employ a lot of humor while they're bullying.
Right.
True.
That's where you got to really, step up. And like, that's how I survived school, because I was never particularly athletic or I didn't run with any kind of tough kids. I just was amusing enough to people that they just sort of, you know, let it slide. You know, I didn't get ridiculed.
Oh, I got, I couldn't.
As much as I would have if I hadn't developed a sense of humor.
Right.
Right.
Well, you have to. It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Doug is just not, it does not instill anything in anybody. They just think you're just a gentle Canadian man.
It's weird to think of a Doug bully though, just because, again, the name doesn't instill a lot of fear into people. Watch out for Doug.
That's, you know, like look at Home Alone, the bully in that, his name's Buzz. Like, I think people with silly names, Opie not included, people with silly names probably can lean towards being bullies because they're already being victimized every time someone speaks to them.
Right.
Right. You know, because bullies have been bullied by somebody. They don't just miraculously get the idea to start bullying without an example.
Right.
Yeah. Very true.
But it's like people who bully are just, they're always motherfucking out. They're always insecure fucking assholes. Yeah, they really are.
Every time I see a sitcom or any kind of TV show or movie that's dealing with their kid having trouble with a bully at school, there are no good answers.
Right.
It's just, you've got
to. Because they're relentless. They're relentless.
Yeah. You just have to fucking get a thick skin, and that's a terrible thing to have to say to somebody.
No, but it's true. And it's like, and now, it's like no one can deal with that. So no one can feel uncomfortable. No, it's like, I have to go to a safe space. Shut the fuck up. The world isn't a safe place. Too bad.
Yeah, so true.
Well, that's what all this isolation is doing, I guess, is making it a little harder for bullying, especially of the physical kind.
You know what it's also good for? School shootings.
Yeah. Yeah, like I can't believe Trump hasn't bragged about the lack of school shootings lately.
I know, right? That should be his platform. I stopped school shootings. You
know? Oh my God.
I know Judy's not a fan, but he's entertaining as all hell. You got
okay.
Right?
Okay, for you, he's entertaining.
All right,
he's
new Sophie's microphone.
I just want to get her going. No, yeah. the whole Sarah Sanders taking one for the team thing that came out a couple days ago.
He's just dumb. He's evil. He's classless. He's a fucking liar. He's just disgusting. He's fucking gross. I hate him.
Hey, not to mention, you know, maybe he was just winking to be nice.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But it might not have been a come on.
Yeah, he tells her to go
to
North
Dakota. He tells her to take one for the team. What the fuck is that?
She has to go to North Korea. And he said that, get fucked
by Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
And that her husband and kids would understand.
Yeah, they'd miss her, but she'd be a hero. Oh, my God.
I'm not a fan of Trump. I really am not, but it's entertaining at times. I know he's ruining everything, but God.
What a fun turn, though. That would be such a fun turn if Sarah Sanders moved to Korea and got married.
Right.
That'd be so funny. Those kids would be really attractive.
I feel like that dude probably winks at everybody.
I know.
Not a dude, you know, and maybe even some dude.
Oh God.
Maybe he just had something in his eye. And it was Sarah Sanders.
Yeah, right.
Whoa, hey.
Hey now.
Hey.
Hey now. Right.
All right. Let's talk about what the two of you are up to. People have been hearing from Doug Mellard and I every week on this show, but since you're one-time guests.
I guess we're not coming back, Opie.
Well, there's no, you told us, I mean, you know, if you called me up and said, hey, guess what? I've got another great story about someone named Doug.
That's true.
You're back. That is true.
If Opie comes across that bully and finds him,
I knew this was a one and done because I was panicking and I had one Doug story that I'm barely attached to. So I know it's over as far as the wild world of Doug podcast, whatever it's called.
Yeah, you barely got through this one episode.
Have you ever had a Doug story about a Doug under like 50 years old? Go.
I'm 41.
Yeah, so he made it.
Oh, right, so you're 40. Under 40.
There's definitely some young Dougs. There's young Dougs. And one area where there's a lot of Dougs is professional sports, both white and black.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It is a sport name, like Doug blank blank.
Yeah, you know? If you don't choose to be athletic, then Doug is more of a liability.
Yeah, coming to the field, Doug blah blah blah.
Yeah, who plays for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, and Doug blah 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 blah.
We got to like pull the sound bites of her doing that for promos for the show.
Coming to the stage right now, Doug blah, 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 blah. It's just like, because that last name has to have something, because Doug is so like, blah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're well aware.
Yeah.
We both have boring last names too, so it's been a uphill climb.
Nobel Prize winner, Doug Bashanda Gala Falakabada.
What can people look for right now from you, Judy?
The book is called Yes, I Can Say That. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. And it's really, it's about free speech from the perspective of a comedian and not taking yourself so fucking seriously and stop canceling comedians for trying to be fucking funny and shut the fuck up. Okay, so that's my pitch for the book. But Opie can tell you because it's, you know, coming from someone who read the book, it just means more. But so I've been promoting that and I have my podcast, Kill Me Now. And I want to perform, but... You know, I'm doing, I have two more shows next week here and then it's over because it gets cold.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
didn't think of that.
Outdoor shows in the East Coast winter, but, you know.
And the audiobook was in the New York Times book review.
Ooh,
I was mentioned in the New York Times book review. for new and noteworthy. So I'm way better than all of you.
Who'd you get to do the audiobook?
Judy Gold.
Oh, she was available?
Yes. They were fucking shocked.
Did you know somebody that said you could reach out to her?
Yeah. They were oh my God, I can't believe you can get her. I know it was, but you know, I'm happy.
I got a question for Judy. I want to ask Judy. So I actually listened to her book, and it truly is well researched and
brilliant. Oh, you didn't read it? You listened to it?
A lot of people listen to it. They love it.
Because I was fishing, because that's all I do these days. And then every once in a while I do my podcast, Opie Radio.
I got a quick question. How could you fish while listening to Judy's book? You must have been laughing so hard you'd scare the fish away.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No, I have a question, though. I was very excited when Judy decided to read her own book. But as a comedian, Judy, was it hard not to just start riffing?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because at times I'm like, I know she's holding back right now. She wants to just go off on a 5-10 minute tangent of new stuff she's thinking about on the spot.
Right, but you can't. And they have a director there. It was all virtual. But, you know, they have a director and a producer and... And then you have to go back if you made any mistakes or you breathed or something dropped, you know. So
yeah,
it's verbatim, baby.
How many days did it take you?
3 for the first one and then 1 to go back and make corrections.
Oh, my God. That had to be boring in a way, right?
Because it was June, and I was stuck in this booth and no one else, there was only the owner of the studio was there. And they had everything separate. You had
right.
Here's your key to the bathroom. Here's your cup to, you know, everything. It was really, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Opie, what other books are you listening to?
You don't want to know. I do a lot of spiritual stuff now. Eckhart Tolle, you know, stuff like that.
But there's the Opie podcast now, correct?
Oh, yes, there is. I have fun with that, actually.
How do people do that?
Huh?
Where do people go to find the Opie podcast?
Oh, I don't know, Doug. No, just put Opie Radio in your podcast app.
Places.
Huh? Yeah, all the usual places.
How often do you do it? I see on your Instagram a lot references to it.
I'm looking at the ocean every day. So I turn on Facebook Live and just fool around. And then some of that material makes it to the podcast and some, you know, doesn't. So when I'm feeling it, man, I'm at the point in my career where I'm not taking anything seriously. And I just, I'm just kind of enjoying myself, you know, and that's about it really. If you want to check it out, great. If not, that's okay too. Go get Judy's book and listen to Doug's podcast, Wide World of Dogs.
Oh, and you have to follow me on Twitter and Insta.
Yeah,
is right. At Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD.
Yeah, and you got American flags on your... header there.
Someone said Jews aren't Americans. That's an old fuck. Do you think I should get rid of those? Maybe.
I don't know. It feels a little like it confusing at this point.
Oh, shut up.
Thank you, Judy, for being here. Thank you, Opie.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah,
nailed it.
Doug Mellor, do you have anything pluggable?
I'm a... performing this weekend in Santa Fe with Ron Howard. I finally got a date for my album Fart Safari 3 Fart Hard with a Vengeance, November 20th. So that's a little ways off, but I'm excited. I finally got a date. But just find me on social at Doug Mellard. That's it.
All right.
And thanks, all right,
this was fun, guys.
Yeah.
I dug this.
Ah, nobody said that. Love it.
Yeah. No one's ever said that.
Don't forget to subscribe and rate and review if you're listening to the show. We've only been going for how many weeks do you think we've done so far, Doug?
Is this 10, 11?
10 or 11 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, That's another thing you should both be proud that I came to you this early.
Thank
on
you, Dougie Wuggy. Yes,
thank you, Doug. I miss you, brother.
Yeah, and, yeah. We'll I miss seeing both. Everyone. All right. We'll
talk to you. Everybody will talk soon. And as always, Doug.
That's funny.
Got it.